Again, please pray for those not here, some not feeling well, and several are traveling. And so keep them in your prayers. Do you want to welcome anybody joining us online tonight? And thankful for that. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to start by looking at verses 1 through 5. Lord willing, we're going to try to cover through verse 14 tonight. But let's pray together, and then we'll look to the scriptures. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again tonight, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we've had already today together and study your word in Sunday school this morning, and for the time of worship and the time in the word of God today, fellowship we've been able to have with one another, the opportunities to go and go door to door with the gospel today. And I pray that every gospel tract that was left, every conversation that was had will bear fruit for your glory. And Father, thank you for this time that we can come together to pray, to sing your praises, and to open the word of God. I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Lord, I pray that you will heal hearts that are hurting, that you'll encourage hearts that are discouraged, that you will give us the strength and energy that we need to do the work that you've called us to do. And Father, I pray you'll help me, for I'm nothing without you. Help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only tonight. And help us to be genuine disciples, continuing in your word. And Father, we pray for needs in hearts. Some are hurting, some are struggling right now. We just pray for grace and help in all things. And Lord, I just pray that tonight we'll be equipped by your word to go and do the work you've called us to. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians! Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now we've seen already in Galatians in this letter that there were false teachers who were coming in who were perverting the gospel. And so Paul is dealing with that. He talked about himself as in defending himself as a messenger of the true gospel. And now he's going to get into, in these next several chapters, dealing with defending the gospel itself. And it's a pretty tough language here in verses 1 through 5 as he questions about their faith. He says, foolish Galatians. And in verse 3 he says, are ye so foolish? In other words, when you come to God by faith in Jesus, it would be foolish for you to turn away from faith to works. And he's questioning them. Notice, first of all, he wants to know who. Who hath bewitched you? In another place, the scripture would ask the question, who has hindered you, or who doth hinder you? And so many times, when we get off track, it has to do with a who as much as it does a what. We need to be really careful about the influences we have in our lives. We can be influenced by people in our family, and that's not always great. We can be influenced by our friends, and that's not always great. We can be influenced by pastors and teachers, maybe on the radio or maybe on television or maybe on YouTube or podcast, and that may not always be great. We need to be careful and guard our influences, because some people may bewitch you or confuse you or lead you astray. So we got to learn the truth, know the truth, and we got to be careful. Can I just say, we're blessed to have godly people in our church. People we can be friends with, people we can be close to, who love God and love his truth. Amen. And that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect and never get anything wrong or anything like that, but we need to be careful who we surround ourselves with, who we're influenced by. By the way, that doesn't mean that you don't ever listen to anyone else or hear anything else, but you need to be careful. I think you ought to spend time listening to good podcasts and find good preaching on the radio and find good YouTube videos. There are a lot of good resources that are available out there, but be careful. Be careful. And what's the criteria? Well, are they preaching the true gospel? Is it salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Is there any mixture of works involved at all? If there's any mixture of works involved at all, that's a false gospel, and you need to leave that alone and go find something that's right. So who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? In other words, who's turned you away from Jesus because you've seen it with your eyes of faith? We have showed you that Christ was crucified for you. So who's bewitched you to turn you away from the death of Jesus for your sins, to think that there's some other way? So he asks you, look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Was it by works or by faith that the Spirit of God has come to live inside of you? We know that we're the children of God because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you're born again, the Spirit is given to you as the earnest of your inheritance. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise so that you can know you have eternal life. Did that happen because you kept the law, or did that happen because you believed? It happened only because you heard by faith, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works, it's by faith. You have the Spirit. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Now, you might underline, highlight this verse in your Bible if you do that. Verse 3 is critical to what we have going on in our world today, in our community today. There are so many people who think you begin in the Spirit, you begin by faith, but then you finish by works. You finish by the way you live. Listen, you couldn't start by works, and you can't finish by works. If you're going to run this race for Jesus, you're going to have to finish the way you started, and that's by the Spirit through faith. It's not by the flesh that you are made perfect. That word made perfect, you know, like most times, it has the idea of being complete, brought to fulfillment. It has the idea of maturity. So if you started by faith, you're going to have to finish by faith. If you started in the Spirit, you're going to have to run in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, do the work in the Spirit. So maturity is going to come through not the flesh, but by the Spirit. Verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? Listen, these believers suffered all kinds of persecution, tribulation, and trouble in their lives because of their faith in Jesus. They were persecuted for the faith. And he said, have you suffered all of that for nothing? Like, if you're just going to go back to the law, like, listen, the Jews would never have persecuted us if we just stayed with the law. It was by leaving the law and coming to faith in Christ alone as Messiah, as the Savior. That's why you have suffered so much, and now you're going to put yourself back under that? Like, it was no point in you suffering at all. You could have just stuck with that. No, we left that because the old was done away, because he had a better way. A better way. A new covenant through Christ alone. Verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Remember, this is how in the early days of the church that people knew that their message was true. These men, the apostles in particular and others, were gifted by the Spirit of God to perform miracles. They could heal people. They could speak in unknown languages. They could do all kinds of miraculous things so that that confirmed the message that they preached. The miracles confirmed the message. And what Paul's saying is the people who are working and doing the great and wonderful things by the Spirit of God, are they doing it by the law or are they doing it by faith? And once again, the Spirit came by faith. The Spirit that empowered them came by faith. The miracles that they were able to do in those days were done by faith, not by the works of the law. So the truth, the Spirit, the spiritual maturity, the perseverance to keep going through suffering, the service that they did, it was all done by faith, not by the works of the law. And that's good news for you and I, because we can stay in the truth. And we can be filled with the Spirit of God. And we can grow in spiritual maturity. And we can persevere and endure persecution and difficulty. We can serve God today by faith. By faith. Look at verse 6. He's going to give us an example here about faith. In verses 6 through 9, in the father of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Believe God. You see, somewhere along the way, the people of God thought that it was no longer about faith and it was about the law. And so they had abandoned faith and just became superficial. Remember, Jesus said the Pharisees were like whited sepulchers. They looked really good on the outside, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. It had become this superficial, ceremonial, outward show, but there was no change in their hearts because they didn't believe. But listen, it was nothing new to have righteousness by faith. That's the way God's always operated. It's always been by faith. God's always been concerned about our hearts. It was never about the law. The law was just a temporary thing to bring people to Christ. The law was never going to make anyone righteous. And he says, listen, your faith, it's all about faith. You're going to be saved by faith, and you're going to live by faith just like Abraham did. And if you believe, you're saved just like Abraham. Now, let me take a little bit of time. Hold your place right here and look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. Romans 4, 13. And for the note takers, we're going to look at verses 13 through 25. We don't have the time to really expound on this, but I at least want to read through it so you get this, because in this letter to the Romans, there's so much here about Abraham to help us understand. Romans 4, 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, remember, we'll stop right here for just a second. The law works wrath. No one was ever justified by the law. No one was ever made righteous by the law. And if the only people who could inherit righteousness got it from the law, then faith was made of none effect. It didn't help anybody to believe. Faith was made void. But that's not the way it works, because the law brings wrath. So it wasn't about the law. It was by faith. Verse 16, it is of faith that it might be by grace. It is of faith that it might be by grace. What is? Righteousness. Having a right standing before God comes by faith. Not just to those who have been given the law, but to those who were before the law, outside of the law. Now, look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's been past the time of bearing children for a long time. But when God said, I'm going to give you a child, Abraham believed. Amen. He didn't stagger at the promises of God, but he against hope, he believed in hope. What an example. Listen, it was just as simple. He knew that God was able to do anything. He believed. He believed. Do you believe that God is able to do anything? But even when you amen that, is there a little seed of doubt in the back of your mind that says, yeah, but he probably won't? Now listen, there's some things you might ask God for that may not be in his will. Okay? And he hasn't promised to give you everything you want. And you know, it's been said, when you pray, you pray with faith, believing, but we ask things in the will of God, right? And God might say yes, he might say no, and he might say not now. Either way, we're going to trust in God. So I don't know about the specific things you might ask God about. But you ought to pray believing that he's able. And at the same time, submitted to his will that you know that he knows best. Okay? But can I just say this? What we're talking about are promises that God made directly to Abraham. Impossible things that God told him, I'm going to do. So when we're talking about praying and not sure whether God's going to do what you're asking to, that's over here. But what's here, brothers and sisters, believe it. Amen. Even when it's impossible, even when there's no possible way, there's no way that could happen, God will do what he said he'll do. And he has made to you precious promises, exceeding great promises, to do things above all that we could ask or think. He's promised us things, and you can believe his promises, even if they seem ridiculous to the world. He's going to do what he says he'll do. So have faith. Even back in our text, Galatians 3:6, he says, even as Abraham believed God. In the same way that he believed God. Well, we just read in Romans 4 that he believed God in this way. Against hope, he believed in hope. Being not weak in faith, he staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So even as Abraham believed, how do we do that? Well, against hope, believe. Have hope in God. Don't stagger at the promises of God, but be strong in the faith, and above all, give glory to God for what he's yet to do. You know, I meet people who believe all kinds of stuff. I've told you before, you know, witnessing to people who are atheists, don't believe in God, they believe in the Big Bang and evolution, all the rest of it. I mean, they believe everything came from nothing and that every living organism on the planet came from one single cell. I mean, from algae and mold to monkeys and you, we all evolved from one thing. And they think I'm crazy. I mean, I talked to a guy one time. He was telling me all this theory about UFOs and aliens building the pyramids and all this stuff. And I told him that I believed that the earth was created by God about 6,000 to 10,000 years ago. And he looked at me like I was crazy. Listen, it's fine. People thought Abraham was crazy too. No doubt people thought Noah was off his rocker. Listen, that's okay. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to, by his grace, I'm going to have faith in him just to believe what he says. People think I'm crazy because I believe Jesus is coming again, but it's what it says. Believe the Bible. Have faith like Abraham. I believe that you and I can live for Jesus in the world today. I believe that we can live out the faith that we have in Jesus. Not just pray a prayer one time and then that be it, but actually live out our faith. I believe our lives can be transformed by the God who saved us. I believe that we can walk in the power of the Spirit and mortify the flesh. I believe that we can crucify the old man and live and walk in newness of life. I believe that we can be absolutely different because of Jesus. I believe that we can turn the world upside down through faithfully preaching the gospel to the world around us. I believe those things. Am I crazy? I don't care if you think I'm crazy or not. It's what the Bible says. Believe. Trust in him. Live out the faith. That's what Abraham did. Listen, Abraham believed God. It doesn't say he believed him and he sat at home. No, he believed God and he got up and did what God said to do. He believed God. How do you know? Well, he got up and left home. not even knowing where he was going. Later on, we see him take that promised son up to the mountain to sacrifice him. How do we know he believed God? Because he had the knife in his hand. Amen. He had Isaac tied up and laying on the altar. Like, you think he didn't believe? He believed. Amen. It was evident by the way he lived his life. And that's why Abraham is the example. Because he believed God and his faith was imputed to him for righteousness. In other words, righteousness was put on his account. Everybody gets that, right? That imputed, it's an accounting term. Where God takes the righteousness of Jesus and puts it on your account because you believe. And so, but it wasn't just that he believed God, but he acted in faith. He lived out his faith. That's why we have the example here in Galatians 3. So we saw the questions of faith. We see the father of faith. And then look at verses 10 and 12. Live by faith. Verse 10, Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now this is really interesting to me because Paul's just throwing out Old Testament reference after Old Testament reference. Remember, this is a lot of Gentiles in this region. These are a lot of Gentiles in this church. And remember, that's the whole problem. Judaizers are saying you Gentiles need to put yourselves under the law. Remember, that's the debate that's going on. You got Jews and Gentiles in the churches of Galatia. And he's dealing a lot with the Gentiles, saying, listen, you don't have to be under the law. You're not under the law. Christ took us and redeemed us from the law. Everybody still with me? But when he preaches to them, when he writes to them, when he teaches them, when he preaches to them, you know what he does? He does it from the scriptures. Amen. You know what he's doing over and over right here? The Bible says. The Bible says. The Bible says. In verse 10, he's quoting from Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. Where he says, it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, Deuteronomy 27:6. What he's saying is, when you are under the law, you are obligated to keep the whole law. But then he says, in verse 11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Here he quotes from Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk has a lot of things to say about a lot of things, old and future. But in the middle of it, he says, the just shall live by his faith. So Paul points to Deuteronomy and says, you're cursed if you don't continue in everything that the law says. You're under the whole thing. But then he says, but it's evident that you're not justified by keeping the law because the just live by faith. You're not going to be made alive by keeping the law. Everybody with me? You're not going to be made alive by keeping the law because the law brings wrath. The law brings death. But faith gives life. Bro, hey, this is good news. This is good news. This is the good news. The law, verse 12, is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. That quotes from Leviticus 18 and verse 5. Leviticus 18 and verse 5. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And it's kind of repeating the same thing again. If you are going to do the law, you have to live out the law. If you're going to be under the law, you got to be under the whole law. And what these Judaizers were doing was they were going through and picking and choosing things out of the law and trying to put that burden on the Gentiles. And Paul's saying that it doesn't work that way. If you're going to be under the law, you got to be under the whole law. If you're going to put yourself under the law to live by the law, then you have to live under the whole thing. But you're not going to be justified that way. You're going to be justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Romans 1, 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Jew, Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bond, or free, there is no difference because Christ died for all, and all live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So Hebrews takes it to the next level. The just shall live by faith. You're going to be made alive. You're going to be justified by faith. But then you also live by faith. Everybody see the distinction? You're made alive by faith. Those who are just in the eyes of God are made alive. They live by faith. But then you also live out your life by faith. You don't turn back away and go back to the old man. This is what some people would call the perseverance of the saints. In other words, if you're genuinely born again, your life is going to be directed to Christ. It doesn't mean that you're never going to fall into sin. But it does mean that your life isn't defined by sin. Don't be deceived. The scripture tells us that the drunkards and fornicators and adulterers and idolaters and all, it lists a bunch of different things. He said, don't be deceived that those who live in this way will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means if your lifestyle is defined by that, you haven't genuinely been changed by God. You've turned back unto perdition. You've turned back unto judgment. You may have said something, but you're not genuinely changed. Now, some of you might be getting upset right now, and that's okay. I believe that a person who says they're a Christian, but they're living a lifestyle of a drunkard, they ought to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. I'm not about to stand up here and say, hey, it's okay if you prayed a prayer one time. If their life has not been changed by Jesus, they need to make sure they're actually born again. Now, some people see a contradiction. Well, Brother Isaac, you've been saying all day that we're not saved by keeping the law. That's right. But if you are saved, it's going to change your life. It's so hard to navigate this without getting people messed up. I mean, it really is. Like, I'm trying to just read the scriptures and say what it says, but we got to make it real for us today. And it's so hard not to say things that might embolden somebody to sin, but we already dealt with that this morning, didn't we? And we don't continue in sin that grace may abound. Do we frustrate the grace of God by living in sin? No, God forbid. So, let me just use drunkenness as an example. Can somebody who's genuinely born again, genuinely saved, is it possible for them to mess up and get drunk? You bet it is. You bet it is. I'm not trying to give you a license to do that. I'm just telling you a reality. But if someone's life is defined by being a drunkard, then there's a real problem. They better examine themselves whether they're genuinely born again. Everybody with me? Somebody said it like this one time. Believers, born-again Christians, people who are genuinely born again, fall into sin. Lost people run into sin. We're going different directions. And if you have sin in your life that is a stronghold that has a hold of you, that you continue, it defines your life, sin defines your life, then that could be a problem. But I'll just say this, I think all of us ought to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Amen. When you have eternal life, you're saved forevermore. But there's nothing more precious than your eternal soul. And it's good for you to know that you know that you know that you're saved. Amen. I hope you guys know my heart. Those are hard things to balance. I don't want to cause a believer to doubt their salvation. But I don't want to give false assurance to someone who's not genuinely born again either. That's hard for me to navigate, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to do. So there's questions of faith, there's the Father faith, and then there's the admonition to live by faith. Be made alive by faith, but then live out your faith. Look at verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You are redeemed. You are blessed. You are made alive. You are empowered by faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. Deuteronomy 21, 22 says, and if any man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Under the law, if someone committed a capital offense, they deserved to die because of their sin. They were killed. Sometimes they were hanged. But God's word said, don't leave them there because it's a curse. Are you with me? Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. The holy, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving Savior became a curse for you and for me. There's no way for us to fully understand His holiness. But He was nailed to the cross like a thief and a murderer. Remember, there was a thief and a murderer on both sides of him. You remember that? I mean, he died with wicked men. The condescension of Christ that he came down so low. I can't understand the heights of his glory, but I get a picture of the depths of how he lowered himself because he came one of us. And took the curse for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He purchased us. He ransomed us. He rescued us from the curse of the law. And what is the curse of the law? It's death. And he took that for us. So that, verse 14, so that, in order that, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ redeemed us by being made a curse for us. We have received the blessing of Abraham through Christ. We have received the Spirit through faith. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? If you would have a right standing before God, you have to come to Him by faith in Christ alone. If you're going to live out the life that He's given you, you can only do that through faith alone. Because it's through faith that we have the power of the Spirit. It's through the power of the Spirit that we're able to do the work. So if you've never been born again, you don't have a right standing with God. You're under the curse of the law. The wrath of God abides on you. You are condemned already in your unbelief. But you can be forgiven and you can be saved. You just need to repent and believe the gospel. We met a man on outreach today. Got to visit with him for quite a while. He's a brother. Goes to a Baptist church over in Roland. And he told me the exact date that he was born again. I asked him, I said, so have you been saved? Have you been born again? Can you tell us when you were born again? And I wish I could remember the exact date. It was in 1974, I think. He knew exactly when he was born again. He talked about his life and some of the things he's been through. But in talking to him today, it was a blessing because he kept bringing up scriptures and bringing up scriptures. It's such a joy. But you know what he knew? He knew he had life in Christ. Do you know that tonight? There's no way to have life without Christ through faith. And there's no way to live out your faith, live out your life in Christ without faith. So trust in him tonight. Will you stand with me? Our musicians come. While they're coming, will you pray with me? Merciful Father, as we have a time to respond to your word and the conviction of your Spirit tonight, I pray that your will would be done in every life. Please bless your word in spite of me, God. I pray that you'll draw the lost to repentance and faith in Christ alone. Please help the saved to obey. Take the first step of obedience in being baptized or make whatever decision that you'd have us to do. Please help us to live by faith today and every day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.